closer.
In brightest day,
in blackest night.
Crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and hear the lamentation of your women.
Welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show that champions the local comic book shop. We're broadcasting at 93.3 CFMU FM Hamilton and podcasting on comicbookdaily.com. I am Walter Giraglia, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, Professor of Comic History at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And as always, we are your olives.
In the great big martini of life that is comic books.
Yes, we are.
Who comes up with these weird intros that we have to force tied up to say every week?
I don't know, but you know what? He should mix me another drink.
I think you've already had enough to drink as it is.
Oh. All right, Chris, welcome.
Thank you, and welcome to you, too. I see you're sporting your Serbian soccer shirt today, and is that part of the whole hoping that maybe one day they'll be in part of the Champions League, or what?
You know what? I've lost hope of that. That was the only clean shirt I had in the closet, I went with that. Chris, it's Wednesday, every Wednesday. Comic books bring us together.
They do. They do. It's comic books are a wonderful thing, and we are just here to pass along how wonderful they are to the unknowing.
To the unknowing and the knowing.
The
knowing tune in, Chris.
That's true.
And they want to hear what you and I have to say about comic books, and especially about comic books that are coming out this week.
That's true. And what a great segue. And let me just read to you. So, new this week is brought to you by Crisis on Infinite Civil Wars and Blackest Nights. Don't read normal comics. Those are obviously boring. Only read major crossover events, because that's where you're going to find the exciting stuff.
Right.
Right.
Okay. So, the big, huge crossover events.
Yes, and which we'll be talking about in a few moments.
You know what? You're right, because that is a perfect segue, Chris, into the first book I have I want to talk about new this week, and that is, of course, Fear Itself, number one, hitting the stands today at your local comic book store.
Yes, yes. It came out today, and I did get a quick chance to peruse it very quickly already, and it looks awesome. You know, more so than anything, the art is fantastic by Stuart Immonen.
Our homeboy Stuart Immonen, local Southern Ontario talent. Matt Fraction is writing.
Yep. Yeah, and it's just it's awesome.
So this is the big Marvel summer blockbuster, the big crossover event, and even though I haven't read it yet, this is a story that's going to have all the Marvel heroes dealing with their own personal fears.
Yes,
I believe.
So Thor
fearing that his father hates him, and not just guys that you can kind of hit over the head with a hammer.
No,
but personal fears
that are
hard to fight.
That's right. Yeah.
Right.
It's not like the fear of like, hey, I wonder if the Spider-Man is going to be worried about Green Goblin attacking again.
Right.
It's more like personal inner fear, that kind of thing.
Right. Where Spidey may fear like the public opinion is turning against him or something like
exactly,
that.
So
things that are harder to I guess tackle,
to grasp. But they're personal things, right? It's trying to hit on a more personal level here.
Yeah, now, Red Skull's daughter, her name is Sin.
Well, hold on. I don't know. Let's just back up a second here. If anybody doesn't want to know, spoiler alert here, just letting you know, in case you don't want to know about this, just turn your radio down briefly.
Turn it down.
Don't turn it off, because we'll still be talking later on. But just turn it down for a second here. So there is a the Red Skull's daughter basically goes ahead and
well, I'm just going to say that there are she gets some sort of hammers
or a hammer
a hammer
and she becomes
Yeah, well, no. I mean, she's got these generals. She's got guys in the Marvel Universe that are working on her side.
Yes, yes.
And they include Hulk.
Yes.
Juggernaut.
Yes.
And the Grey Gargoyle.
Right. Yes.
And so Hulk, it's surprising for me that Hulk...
Yeah, well, we don't know exactly how that's going to take place.
Right.
But he does sort of turn to the other side. And, well, Hulk's one of those guys that sometimes he's bad, sometimes he's good.
He goes
right?
both ways, yeah. Hulk.
Hey-o.
Hey-o.
Yeah. All right, well, and, okay, so my question to you is, though, Walt, what are some of the personal fears of some of the other characters? I mean, if Spider-Man's worried about his status and his image, what would somebody like Squirrel Girl, what would be her fear?
Oh man, she'd be like, what if she ran out of nuts?
Well, yeah, there's always that, I suppose, yeah.
I mean, Luke Cage, what if he ran out of Jerry Curl? That would be horrible. 80s Luke Cage.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, the 90s
or, you know,
Luke Cage.
Dazzler right. runs out of bell bottoms or something.
Oh,
you know?
That's terrible, Chris.
Yeah, I know.
That's terrible. I don't know. Who else? Oh, like Brian Michael Bendis runs out. Like they take a book away from him?
Take a title away from him. Oh, that would be his biggest fear for sure.
I think you're right.
But
I don't know. I mean, Marvel... They're banking on this, you know, Joe Quesada's fear probably is slipping sales or something like that.
As
right?
it should be, really.
Right, yeah. And he's banking on this to turn that tide. And from what I'm at the shop, a lot of Marvel fanboys are really excited about this event.
So they should be. You know, I'm not really big on big long crossovers and, you know, all the big summer events, but this one actually does look pretty cool.
All right. Let's switch it over to DC.
Yes.
Very excited. All the people that wait. There are a lot of people that wait for Fables to be collected into a graphic
novel.
Yeah,
well, it's that kind of story that, you know, it actually does very well in trade paperback form. I was a huge fan of Fables when it first started. I'm a little bit behind now, but Fables and then Jack of Fables, of course, was the spinoff of that as well. And this is a story, in case for our listeners who aren't too sure what Fables is all about. Basically, it's a storyline where what if all the imaginary fairy tale characters, such as Snow White and the Aesop Fables characters, what if they lived in our own world, and what kind of, you know, problems and adventures would they get involved in?
Yeah, and the talent there is Bill Willingham writing in really good stories
around that kind
of stuff. This is Volume 15, comes out today, collects issues 94 to 100, and, you know, a Vertigo book, so it's a bit mature theme type of book, and there's a lot of guys excited about that. I have to mention, too, from Image coming out today. Actually, it was coming out last week. Walking Dead number 83, but a lot of North America, actually the East Coast of North America, they were heavily allocated last week.
Right.
And so that book didn't ship last week. And the reason I mention it, because you would not believe the amount of phone calls we get.
Oh,
like,
yeah?
The amount of guys go, what do you mean it's not out this week?
Well, you know what's funny? I was kind of laughing because it seems like hardly a week goes by where we don't talk about Walking Dead, but you just kind of proved my point that, you know, if we don't talk about it, people want to know what's going on,
exactly.
Right? So, you know, it's a problem. Maybe it's a good thing we talk about Walking
exactly.
Dead.
Exactly. So Walking Dead fans will rejoice with issue 83 finally in their, what do you call
it?
Hot little hands.
Right. Okay.
All right, Chris, so we got a busy show.
Yep.
So I want to stop New This Week right there.
Okay, and we'll have a little musical interlude. No?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, this one, I know you've heard it before, but it's a good one to be played every once in a while. It is, of course, Josie and the Pussycats.
Yeah.
great tune, Chris. As always, you're the Spinmeister.
Oh, I like that. The Spinmeister. All right, Chris. I'm the DJ of the comic airwaves.
Yes, you are. You are the segwayer.
The segwayer.
Into industry news.
Absolutely, I am, yes.
And this week, industry news is brought to you by Superhero Catchphrases. Whether it is clobberin' time or a sweet Christmas, you know you love catchphrases. Be the best at what you do, even if it isn't very nice, and head up, up, and away, because with great power comes great responsibility.
Excelsior! That is actually probably one of the better sponsors we've ever had. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? Yeah, that is a good sponsor.
It's a very good sponsor. Superhero Catch. We may have to use that one again sometime.
Right.
That was actually very well done.
Note to self.
Note to self. Note to superhero catchphrases.
And you know what I love most about that is it was kind of a long one, and I didn't blow it.
No, I know. I was shocked.
Yeah, Chris. And a great, great, great segue into industry news. And I wanted to talk first about at the big WonderCon that happened last week.
Yes.
DC announced this big kind of a summer retro miniseries.
Yeah, it looks very, very cool. It looks very awesome.
So let me explain this really quickly. So DC in the 1970s, 1980s, and 1990s. So DC has gone to six creators that are synonymous with the 70s. And they've asked them to write stories, 70s style, of the characters that they were associated with in the 70s.
Right.
And ditto for the 80s and ditto for the 90s.
Yeah, yeah.
So you have, Dennis O'Neill doing Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
You have Marv Wolfman in the 80s doing Superman. Roy Thomas doing Superman.
Yeah,
Wonder Woman in the 80s.
Yep, yeah. And in the 80s, you've got William Messner Loebs, who did Wonder Woman for a long time. The Flash, rather, I should say. Jerry Conway doing Justice League of America. Lynn Wein doing Green Lantern.
Right.
You know, and in the 90s, you've got Louise Simonson doing Superman. We're not naming all of them, but Brian Augustin doing The Flash. Keith Giffen and J.M. DeMatteis doing Justice League. Ron Mars doing Green Lantern. Alan Grant doing Batman.
Yeah.
This is awesome. This is for anybody that kind of grew up in reading comics in the 80s. This is fantastic. Or even the 70s or in the 90s, I should say, really.
Right. Right. So what they're doing is they're attaching a 20-page classic story from that time.
Yep.
With a 26-page original story.
Right.
At that time.
Right.
So I guess obviously say a guy like Dennis O'Neill writing Green Lantern,
yeah,
something like that. So he goes back to his classic Green Lantern run, and what does he try to do there? Does he just obviously DC wants him to try to replicate that style, replicate the feel?
Maybe I don't know about the whole style because when Dennis O'Neill was doing Green Lantern, there was a particular style, and I don't know if you can go back to that style now. I don't know if that's possible, but certainly I think these guys know that they have a good handle on those characters, and maybe they'll be able to bring something fresh after so many years after writing them or drawing them so many years ago.
Yeah, but I don't think they're trying to update.
They're trying
to write it in that 70s feel, so it's almost like a lost story. This
right.
is what I would imagine that they're trying
right,
to do.
Right, right.
It's almost like, oh, you know what? This should have been, number 81 and a half.
Right.
Or whatever. Green Lantern. Whether the fans like it or not. So do fans of the new Justice League or of Green Lantern.
Yeah.
Do they buy this, or is it just old timers that are going to be reminiscing the buy?
Yeah, you know what? I think it's going to be a little bit of both. I think it's going to be I think it'll be a lot of old timers buying the old stuff, and I think the hardcore Green Lantern fans or whatever it happens to be will buy this stuff as well, like the guys who are buying it, like the new stuff. But they might not appreciate it because it might not be the same characters that they're used to or the same writing style, but it may give them a chance to kind of see what that old writing style was like and to see where those characters came from.
All right, let me ask you, in the 80s, you're probably reading a lot of comics in the 80s.
Yeah, for sure.
Is there a particular title that you're looking forward to there that you're kind of interested to see what's going on now?
In the 80s, I probably read You know, I probably read a little bit of Justice League of America, Jerry Conway stuff. In the 90s, I certainly read, I read The Flash. I read a lot of Justice League of America then, too, as well. But in the 70s, I read Green Lantern and The Flash, that kind of thing, the Batman. So there's a lot of titles there that I'm really looking forward to reading.
Excellent. All right. So good luck with DC. What
about you?
I think it's a great idea.
What about you? Is there anything there that you were interested in reading?
I like the... I like the Batman. I like the kind of mystery style Batman, the early 70s style of Batman.
Right,
Detective
right, right.
Comics. So I'm interested in that. Obviously, Dennis O'Neill's Green Lantern I'm interested in.
Yeah.
Going back that way. The Roy Thomas Wonder Woman, because I remember reading a bit of Wonder Woman in that time. So that's going to be cool. I like Roy Thomas. I think he's kind of had cool concepts, too.
Yeah, for sure.
This is going to be – I'll probably check – you know, I won't check them all out, but I'll probably check one or two out of the.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and it will, for me, be a nostalgia trip.
Yeah, you know, I think it. I love those old the covers from the 70s and the 80s and the 90s. I love the way they look. So I'm kind of hoping that they were going to replicate the way those covers looked.
Well, if they did, like in the 70s, like, you know, the Wonder Woman, she has to be tied up on the cover, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. That's or on a giant bomb or something like that. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
All right, Chris, let's move it along. Hey, very important news coming out of somewhere. A Squared, Archie, and Stan Lee's POW Entertainment are teaming up to create a new entertainment property based on Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yes, you know what? This has been in the news a little bit the past couple days. And, of course, now we've got The Governator.
The Governator.
The Governator.
So we're talking about an animated TV series, a 3D movie, some consumer products. This is when I see this, this is like there's too much money.
Yeah. For sure,
floating around
for sure.
in Hollywood
Absolutely,
with no
yeah.
place to go.
Yeah.
And they're just looking for ideas to throw their money at.
But here's the thing.
Here's the thing.
Here's the thing. With Arnold Schwarzenegger, it's like he is now realizing that he's becoming a parody of himself. He is, you know, becoming the William Shatner of the political and movie scene that we, you know, like the new version of the William Shatner kind of thing. Because, you know, William Shatner, after a long time, he kind of took himself too seriously. Now he's just sort of realized he's a parody of himself.
Right.
And now I think now that, you know, Schwarzenegger is done with his political career, I think he's probably figuring that out. I think he realizes he can't go back to doing the kind of action movies that he would like to.
Sure.
So
of his age.
Yeah, because of his age and, you know,
he can't become president because he was born in Austria.
That's right. So, you know what? Might as well go ahead and just start making fun of yourself.
Wow, that's cool. I mean, I'm a big Arnold fan, as many of us are.
No.
And if anybody could make it work, if anybody can force his way through,
absolutely,
crush his enemies. And make this happen.
See the lamentation of the people.
Yes, it will be Arnold. So good luck to Arnold. And we would love to get him on the show.
Absolutely.
Talk about the project.
You know, I'm going to put out a public broadcast right now saying if he ever wants to come on to our show, he's more than welcome to be part of comic culture.
Right. Don't be a girly man, Arnold. Family Guy, Chris. Family Guy comics.
Well, they have been going for a little while now, yeah.
Yeah, they had them. Back in the day, Devil's Due had a Family Guy.
Yeah.
And I remember there was a graphic novel called The Big Book of Crap or something like that.
That's right. Yeah,
and
yeah,
it did really well at the shop.
Yeah.
It actually sold, but there was no product. Like, since 2006, there hasn't been Family Guy comic books.
Which is surprising because, you know, it's still popular.
Titan Comics has signed a deal with Seth MacFarlane. To start a Family Guy comic book.
You know, it seems like every time I've gone to the bookstore, they always have they used to have the Family Guy trade paperbacks a lot in their humor section, and they seem to always sell very well. But it's not something that they for some reason just all of a sudden ended. Right. Like, you just, you know, I don't know why. I don't know why Devils Do stopped publishing them, or I guess, well, I do know why, because, you know,
they went
under. But I'm surprised nobody has picked it up until
Since,
now.
Right? Yeah. It's a good point. I'm gonna tell the truth here, and I've never watched Family Guy.
Oh, you know, I'm not really surprised.
Right? Is it like The Simpsons?
It's no.
Is it just vulgar humor?
It's a lot of that, yeah. Uh-huh. It's a lot of that. But it's a lot of vulgar humor, and it's a lot of shocking humor.
It has a political context to it, or is it just
occasionally?
Kind of, is it kind of more like Married with Children?
Kind of. It just tries to see how far they can push the boundaries.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's like a Flintstones.
Like there's one episode where, the
Married with Children version.
Yeah, kind of, maybe even worse. I mean, there's one episode where they had a contest, and they all took Ipecac, and they just see, who could be the last one to vomit, right? And then and it just become a great big vomiting scene. So that's the kind of show we're dealing with there. It's incredibly funny, though. Don't get me wrong.
All right. Okay, good. All right. So Family Guy Comics coming out this summer. Check them out. Marvel has announced a new Captain America series written by Ed Brubaker.
Yes, fantastic. I'm very excited about this. As Captain America is my favorite hero of all time. So the fact that there's a new series coming out also by Ed Brubaker, who's put so much life into the old Captain America series, I'm stoked.
Yeah. Well, no. Chris.
If you want some time to think about that, you go right ahead.
Steve McNiven doing the art.
Yeah.
This is the Buck Rogers.
Buck Rogers.
Steve Rogers.
Yeah, no, it's Buck Rogers.
No, Steve Rogers is the Cap here.
Right.
Okay, but Bucky. That's why I got mixed up there with the Bucky.
Right.
He's the Cap. He's the Cap now, isn't he? Yo, the Capo.
He was the Captain America, but he's no longer Captain America anymore.
So, are you telling me?
He isn't. I don't want to.
He either is or he isn't.
Well, he isn't.
There's no isn't.
But there's still Steve Rogers, right?
Right.
So, he's just not Captain America anymore, but apparently he's going to be Captain America, but.
Buck. Bucky is not Captain America anymore?
No.
Like, will there be two Captain... Because this is continuity. This is regular continuity that they're doing here at Marvel.
Right.
So there will only be... Like, in DC right now, aren't there two Batmans in the continuity? One is the Robin that took over for Batman, and then the other one's Bruce Wayne coming back for Batman.
Yes, yes.
So will Captain America, will there be two Caps?
I suppose. I really don't know. James, our producer, does he know the answer to this one? Oh, he's putting up his hands.
He doesn't know. Nobody knows.
So it's very possible that there could be two.
Well, there should only be one.
That's true.
There should only be one. And they should, it would be cool if they had they have them fight each other.
Right.
Who can be the Cap?
Well, we don't really know what's going to happen with the Bucky Captain America, right? We don't know if he's going to. What's that? He's on trial. Right, yeah. He's on trial right now. So we don't know. I mean, I guess we're going to assume that he's going to end up being probably no longer Captain America.
But it would be great if they battled each other and Steve Rogers beat him up or something like that.
Well,
there should be some sort of competition like a Jeopardy match or something like that. Yeah. I'll take U.S. history for 100, Alex.
Nice.
But anyway, issue number one is coming out in July sometime, and Captain America fans like
myself,
co-host Chris here, is rejoicing and looking forward to it, I guess.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Hey, listen, this WonderCon that just happened last weekend was a very...
huge event.
Yeah, and there was a lot of media news coming out of it.
Yeah.
And the busy boys of the show... had to be IDW. I have a list in front of me of IDW news releases from the show.
Okay.
And it's quite impressive.
Okay, well, why don't we start with number one?
Number one, okay. IDW is doing a artist's edition with Marvel. They're doing like a deluxe. They did that, the Rocketeer artist edition.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was really beautiful thing. They're doing Walt Simonson's... The Mighty Thor
edition. Very cool, yeah.
So it's like a $100 hardcover. Yeah. This is like a high. I don't ever understand why Marvel can't just do this.
Yeah, that always bothered me that Marvel can't seem to produce these things on their own or any company really. Like,
right,
they
have to go to a specialized company.
But you know what?
That.
This is something that, years ago, Graffiti did the same thing when they started publishing specialized versions of other trade paperbacks. Like they did the Watchmen and Dark Knight Returns and that kind of thing. So, you know what? I think it's just they're just taking the same material and just started making it more prestige. Maybe they have a better grasp on what fans are going to want. I don't know.
You know what? It's a nice 12 by 17 hardcover, so it's going to be beautiful.
Yeah,
it's going to be like almost like a coffee table.
And
type of
you
book.
Know, and with Thor coming out, and what you know, the Simonson Thor is amazing. It's an amazing run. So
right.
If you haven't read it and you're a Thor fan, you got to go in there and check it out.
All right, IDW also has announced terms with Nickelodeon. They're going to be making some Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles graphic novels and comic books.
Very cool.
Which is great. Now, yeah. TMNT, they haven't had comics in a while. I know they got sold to Nickelodeon about 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And there was big news then because Eastman and Laird, I think they got $50 million or something like that for selling the rights to the Turtles to Nickelodeon. But it's been 2 years.
Yeah.
And so finally some news there. And they're also a 26-episode cartoon series coming out,
yep.
And maybe a feature film from Paramount.
Yeah, I heard about that before. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, so TMNT news there, also from IDW. And IDW has announced a relationship with Anne Rice.
Oh, very cool.
Based on the Servants of the Bones books.
Hey-o, excuse me?
Hello.
I thought this was a family show. I don't know if I want to talk about that at all.
All right, Chris. Well, okay. No. It's not what you're thinking.
Oh.
Servant of the Bones is a series of novels written by Anne Rice that have to do with the Azrael, the angel and stuff like that. Isaiah, Jeremiah. It's like stories from the Bible, but in her horror type of
Gothic kind of way. Yeah.
And so this reminds me very much of Marvel's association with
Stephen King.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And Steve, that's been working really well.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So now IDW is small fry compared to Marvel.
Oh, yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see if a smaller publisher can pull off what Marvel did with the Stephen King stuff.
Well, you know, Anne Rice, this isn't her first foray into comics. I mean, they had Vampire Lestat comics years ago published by Innovation. I mean, that was like back in the early 90s, right?
Yeah, and they did well.
So, you know, let's just hope IDW does a little bit better than Innovation did.
Fair enough. All right, let's keep going with IDW. Busy Boys this last weekend. Darwin Cook's Parker stories.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, they're doing the Martini edition.
Oh, and what's that all about?
Well, they're doing it's 344 pages, slipcase type thing.
And you get a martini with it?
I don't know. But they have the hunter in it. They have the outfit in it. They have another new 8-page story.
Right.
Parker story by Darwin Cook.
Cool.
And 50-some-odd pages of sketches and interviews and all that
right
kind
on.
Of stuff.
That's awesome.
So it's like a high-end product.
Yeah,
again,
yeah.
This is IDW getting something really nice.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Almost a Taschen-y in a way.
Very cool.
What they're doing. And finally, with IDW, looks like they're going ahead with Ghostbusters comics in September.
Oh, very!
So
that's awesome. Yeah,
a continuing Ghostbusters series from IDW come September.
Yeah.
What I like about this is IDW is going all in on the comic book format.
Yeah, they're just going great guns a-blazing here. And you know what? Why not? They've got some great properties, some hot titles. So you know, as long as they can keep up the momentum, they seem to be a force to be reckoned with right now.
Sure. They obviously have done their studies and they see comic books, comic properties as a great growth area, maybe not just per se on the new weeklies that sell out of comic book stores, but what that will later garner in terms of.
But you know what? IDW seems to do better than the other companies that have held those kind of properties because it seems like they understand what the fans want out of these properties, and they don't try to make some sort of prestige element to the stories by saying, oh, okay, well, this is the way the story went before. Now I'm going to do my own take on it kind of thing. They go, okay, this is the way the story went before. Now I'm just going to, you know, honor that tradition and kind of keep that tradition going, right? They, you know, when they're dealing with G.I. Joe and those other kind of properties, they don't say, let's just make our own stories and kind of kill all those characters and stuff. They kind of like take all that stuff as if it's history.
Right on. All right, Chris. Listen, we got lots of industry news, so why don't we cut put a little musical?
Sure, we can do that. And just for a little bit of something a little different, we've got a little Space Ghost.
Space Ghost!
Walt, are you okay? I thought you were going to have
I'm fine. Oh, a little seizure happened.
Yeah.
I got caught in a moment. I was caught in the sperm of the moment.
Oh, I like to have, you know, I don't even know what to say about that.
Old Archie Bunker line.
All right. Well,
okay.
Man.
Woo! Hey, it's hot here.
Yeah, it certainly is. Well,
where's Squirrel Girl when you need her?
Her nuts, yeah. Our next segment is brought to you by the Fan Expo's Fan Appreciation Show. From April 9th to the 10th at the Toronto Convention Centre. Visit hobbystar.com for more info. Also called the Toronto Comic Con. For those out there who are keeping track. No, I'm not mentioning any names, Kevin? But anyways, it is the Fan Appreciation, but it's also called the Toronto Comic Con.
Right. And I love the way you said from April 9th to the 10th. which is great. And also, Chris, you forgot to mention that Comic Book Daily will be at the show.
Yes, we will be there. And
covering the event top to bottom.
Of course, and of course, Comic Culture will be there as well.
Comic Culture will be there too, covering the event from left to right.
and the only way we know how to do it.
Right. So we're looking forward to everybody coming down to the Metro Toronto Convention
Center. If you happen to be at the show, stop by the booth and say hello. And, you know, we've still got Comic Book Daily still has that. They've got a prize giveaway going on right now with some Spider-Man stuff.
Yes, some Thor Hammer. You're right.
No.
That was already done.
The Thor Hammer one was done, so now we've got the Spider-Man trade paperbacks. I shouldn't say we. The site does. But you know what? If you stop by the site and you can say hello to the guys at Comic Book Daily and then
Stop by the booth.
Or you can stop by the booth and say hello and get some
Any kind
info.
Of feedback, guys. Like Chris and I, you know what we would love? I mean, maybe we wouldn't love it, but we would love if you come by the booth and say, "You guys suck." Right? Because you know what? It means you're listening. That means you're tuning in. That means you're getting some sort of reaction from us, which is what we're looking for.
Absolutely.
Right?
But, I mean, you know, I think we've got at least, what, 4 or 5 listeners out there?
We're looking for them to come by. Chris.
Yes.
You actually posted the Green Lantern preview.
As soon as I found out about the WonderCon, they had a special extended trailer just for WonderCon of the Green Lantern movie coming out soon, and I think it's June. It's like 4 minutes long, but wow, does it look awesome. It looks absolutely fantastic. You know, they had a previous trailer up that kind of made it look like it was a bit of a comedy. You know, I think whoever designed that trailer, maybe they didn't have the I've actually heard since then that they didn't have those kind of scenes that we saw in the last new trailer. They didn't have them ready. So they kind of, you know, put what they could with Ryan Reynolds up. But now with this new trailer, it looks like it's like the serious action-packed movie. It looks amazing.
They weren't ready, Chris. They were getting ready to be ready last time.
Right, to be ready, yes.
And you know what? I had to watch it. After reading your build-up about the clip on Comic Book Daily, which was, hey, check out this new clip. I did. And
it worked, apparently.
You know what? And I thought it was cool.
Yeah.
I thought, man, this is visually stunning.
Yeah, it really
is. It's really kind of far out there, though. It's like the concepts and stuff going on. I don't know if it's populist enough in terms of it's what it's trying to tell.
I don't really know what you meant. What you
said
there,
but it's so far out there.
Populist enough.
Well, populist in terms of your layman going to the movie.
Right,
and saying, man, this is flipping cool, man.
But you know what? I think that in viewing the trailer, I mean, obviously, I'm well versed in Green Lantern, you know, culture.
Obviously,
what do you want to call it? Well, but I think that it looks like they're going to be able to tell the story well enough for people that don't know anything about the characters. Because you know why? You know why I'm saying this?
Why?
Thank you. Because a couple people wrote to me who said they don't know anything about Green Lantern, but man, are they ever interested in seeing this movie now?
Right. All right. Well,
it looks awesome.
ComicBookDaily.com or any other website on the net.
No. ComicBookDaily.com.
Slapped in the wrist.
Yeah.
ComicBookDaily.com. Check out the Green Lantern trailer.
Yeah, it looks amazing.
Enjoy. All right. This kid, Peter David, he's doing a new Spider-Man video game.
Did you just say this kid, Peter David?
Yeah.
I wasn't too sure where you were going with this, so I didn't interrupt you right away. But as soon as... Okay, you do know that Peter David wrote the Hulk for, like, I don't know how many issues, and X-Factor, and like, he's a major Marvel writer, right? Like,
I know who Peter David is.
Okay, well, I just want to make sure.
I better not say
Yeah,
it. No.
That's probably better.
All right.
Very wise, yeah.
Yeah.
He's been around for a while.
You know what? As long as I'm a day older than him, I can call him a kid.
All right.
All right. He's doing this new Spider-Man Edge of Time
video game.
Video game, yeah. Which is due out this fall.
Yes.
Now, first of all, the Spider-Man Shattered Dimensions video game, which came out in 2010,
yeah.
apparently was a huge hit.
It was a very big hit, and apparently this new one, this Edge of Time one, is I'm from what I've read on the internet, that internet thing, is that this one is supposed to be even better. From what I don't know for sure. Our producer is he's looking at me like, how could it possibly be better than the last one?
But. Well, listen, this one apparently there's two Spidey characters. There's the classic kind of Romita-ish Spidey character, and there's the future 2099
right.
Spidey character. Right. And now the problem with video games, there is not a problem with video games, I take that back. The problem with comic book fans is they'll read, oh, 2099, that sucked. You know, that was the worst miniseries or whatever ever. But
well, actually, you know what? In hindsight, the Marvel of the 2099 comics, Spider-Man was probably the best one.
Right.
It way beat like Ravage, which was actually written by Stan Lee.
Yeah.
It was terrible.
Was but you know what? Young gamers,
yeah.
You know, when they're listening to their Justin Barber stuff and stuff, they're going to come and say, hey, man, this 2099 Spidey is cool.
Well, let's hope they do. Let's hope they're listening to Justin Barber and playing Spider-Man 2099.
Well, that's
at the
probably
same
what
time.
They're doing, because they got those little things in their ears
there's
when
little,
they're playing the video.
Those little
games.
J-pods in their ears?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, it's a good thing. but what I – Chris, kidding aside, which apparently I think I was, Spider-Man succeeding in video games is something that I really love.
Yeah.
Like I want Spider-Man to be just as good a video game as probably – I know it won't be – as the Batman – Arkham Asylum and all that kind of stuff. It's just another way that comic book properties are you know, muscling into other entertainment
and
areas and succeeding.
Yeah, and they have for years. Every once in a while, they get a really good one. Like years ago, there was a good Spider-Man game by Activision that came out. You know, the whole Batman Arkham Asylum game is coming. You know, is going to be great. You know, there's the. I don't want to spoil it, but I don't know. Are you talking about the Captain America video game?
There is a the Captain America video game.
Okay,
I've got
that. There is, in case you weren't too sure, there's a new Captain America video game coming out, Super Soldier, and it looks awesome. It looks absolutely fantastic. And again, just proving what you're talking about here, the crossover from comics to video games is becoming easier and easier. And of course, you know, having the movie coming out certainly helps to further that endeavor as well.
Right, and. Well, Chris? It's all going in that direction.
Yeah,
and it's
yeah.
great. You know, Squirrel Girl, the video game,
hey,
is coming.
Absolutely. You know, I'd be more than happy to play a Dazzler video game. You know,
yeah, and
you know, go around skating and around roller skates and with disco balls
well,
and stuff.
I remember in the old days they used to have the pinball machines.
Right, right.
And it would be cool to play like the Spider-Man pinball.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. The X-Men pinball machine.
Hey, you know what? Speaking of which, as we're on video game topic, and now we're talking about pinball. Do you know? Just before you arrived in the studio today, and just before I left for the studio, I was actually playing the Spider-Man video game, but it is a Spider-Man pinball game on the Sony PlayStation.
Get out.
So you can download.
What are your flippers? How do you work the flippers?
It's like the two triggers on your controller.
Oh,
right. And
right.
So you can download a Marvel bundle of pinball machines. There's like a Blade, a Wolverine, a Spider-Man, and an Iron Man. And you get to actually play pinball on your PlayStation kind of thing. And it's pretty cool. I mean, it's not expensive to play, and it's really a lot of fun. And it kind of gives you that old-timey kind of feel to it as well.
Sure plays me pinball.
That was horrible. Okay.
All right, Chris, let's move on. Hey, one of our favorites, Leonard Nimoy.
Yes.
He's
a favorite of ours?
Oh, absolutely. Mine. Oh,
okay.
He is going to be voicing Sentinel Prime.
Right.
Apparently, Sentinel Prime is a Transformer.
Yes.
And he is. It's in the new Transformers Dark of the Moon.
We're going to be auditioning for new co-hosts for Comic Book Culture coming probably in the near future. Just we want to get your only requirements are going to be that you know something about pop culture and comics.
Pop culture, yes. So he's going to be Sentinel Prime, who is is he like the dad of Optimus Prime? He's some sort of ancestor of Optimus Prime.
Yeah, he's going to be like one of the like the king kind of, like he's going to be like a powerful transformer of the primes. He's going to be like the first prime. Of course, there's Optimus Prime. All the primes are sort of like the leaders of the Autobots kind of thing in the Transformers universe. Now, I may have screwed something up there, but that's the gist of it.
I'm sure you didn't.
Yeah, well, I probably did it. But if I did, you're more than welcome to write to us and let us know.
All right. Now, Nimoy, he was actually Galvatron in the last Transformers movie back in 1986.
Yes, he was.
So he was the voice of that guy, too.
Right. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Or that Transformer.
Yeah.
Right. Now, Transformers, the listenership obviously knows a lot more than I do, but they may not know. Transformers was originally, because you know what we're talking about, you and I are talking about comics succeeding in video games and video games succeeding in movies.
Yeah.
Transformers originally was a toy property.
Right.
Am I right?
Yes.
Okay.
But you know what? I'm going to take it even one step further. There's a toy line called Micronauts, which came out in the 1970s.
Yes.
Now, the Micronauts actually were part of the Transformers. This idea of little toys and little cars and stuff like that, they were called Micronauts. Like, so the Transformers that we know were actually called Micronauts in Japan. That's why we have, like, you know, there's like a little mini Ghetto Blaster and stuff like that.
This is a historian at work right here,
yes,
people.
Yes, that's right. So the Micronauts in Japan were the Transformers that we know of. So, I mean, that's why there's Soundwave, which is actually a little micro, like, you know, little Ghetto Blaster. Like, why would he be a Decepticon? He's not a plane or anything like that. But the idea was that there was all these little micro kind of, you know, robots kind of thing. So
Knots.
Anyway, so they were a toy, but even before they were Transformers, they were something else. So that's just a little bit of little Transformers history.
Right. So hold on. So okay. And then is it Hasbro, I think, that got the Transformers?
Yeah.
And they were extremely successful toy line right off the bat.
Yeah.
And Marvel picked up the comic book property.
Right.
And then within what, a few short years, they did that movie back in 86.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they had the TV show.
Oh, right. You're right. Yeah.
And, which mean that you had the TV show, you had the toy, and you had the comic book all kind of going on at once. And then the movie came out, and which the movie was kind of cool because, you know, if you're a fan of the TV show, you're kind of used to all these characters. And then all of a sudden, these new characters came out in the movie that you had never seen before. So that was kind of neat, and you actually heard Optimus Prime swear,
"Get out!"
Yeah, that was a big deal, right? Because he had never sworn on the TV series because it was a kids show, but then all of a sudden he swore because it was a movie. So
right.
It was sort of a big deal. I'm not going to tell them what happens in the end. Our producer's trying to tell them what happens to Optimus Prime. Yeah,
right.
I'm not telling them that.
Don't tell them.
No.
All right, Chris, I'm going to move on. We're going to talk about. Hey, I don't know how we missed it last week. We must not have just tuned in enough, but the Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark play.
Yes.
That's going on in New York. And the reason we didn't mention it last week is there was no news coming out on the website.
I know. It's crazy.
So this week, something bothered me, and I go, I'm going to look
for
news. You're
missing something. Yeah,
we're missing something. And turns out really probably that no news is good news for that production, because that with all the big changes that's going on, it's like, oh, wait a minute. There's a week gone by without somebody being fired.
Yeah.
There's a week gone by without somebody breaking his neck.
Yeah, there's no accidents.
Hanging off a trapeze.
Yeah, there's nobody quitting the show.
Yeah, and so I'm looking at the gate, and I'm looking at actually Turn Off the Dark was for the week late March, last week of March.
Yeah.
It was on Broadway, from what I read, the highest grossing musical.
I'm not surprised. You know, there is a lot of hype around this show. I mean, if I was in New York, if we were in New York, we would want to go see it, right? I mean, it's something that we would probably see it if we weren't comic book fans anyways. You know, it would just be like, a Spider-Man musical, got to check this out.
Right, $1.5 million on the gate. It's roughly $80 on average a seat, which is, you know what? It's like a quarter of a Leaf ticket, really.
Yeah, for sure.
When you think about
it.
And you get to go see something that I'm sure you're going to remember forever.
Right.
And but the reason that I have to mention it too, because I remember Anthony, our producer, has instructed you and I to put the pressure on the show promoters to get us in there to review the movie.
We have talked
the play.
We have talked about this musical since before it opened up, all through the openings, almost every week. And I think if anybody deserves a pair of tickets to go see this musical, we do.
Right. And of that, again, I'm going to say it, of that $1,517,600, at least 15 came from our recommendation.
At least, you know, at
like
least.
Popcorn
yeah.
sales, at least.
At least, absolutely, yeah.
And so we would love to come down and review that movie. So,
for sure, as we should.
So give us a call. Chris, let's move on. The Toronto Comic Con. Sorry, no, my God. I'm sorry, Kevin. It's the Toronto Comic Arts Festival, otherwise known as TCAF.
TCAF, yeah, coming up soon.
Don't want any litigation happening here.
No.
Now, TCAF is happening the same weekend as Free Comic Book Day.
In May, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll talk about Free Comic Book Day next. But I want to talk about TCAF a little bit in the sense that here's a small little comic arts festival in Toronto. And actually, it's hosted by the Toronto Reference Library.
Yeah, well, so it's going to be at the Toronto Reference Library.
On Yonge.
But it was started by the guys that own The Beguiling.
At The Beguiling, yes. This year's Schuster Award winner is Canada's best comic book store.
Chris Butcher, yeah.
Yep. And TCAF. Try to explain to people what TCAF is.
So if you've ever been to a comic book convention, you go to the show and there's all kinds of dealers selling comic books, and there's artists who are trying to sell sketches and their own books and things like that. Well, and of course there's toy dealers and there's video dealers and stuffed animal and manga dealers and all that kind of stuff. Well, the Toronto Comics Art Festival is really, it tries to kind of take that whole idea of a huge convention and just take it down a notch. And so basically the promoters of TCAF, they get together a lot of great independent artists and from around North America and sometimes around the world.
Yeah.
They get people from Japan and Germany and France, mm-hmm. and who knows where else. And so basically it's a chance for people – it's not the big name Marvel and DC artists.
You're not going to see Brian Michael Bendis there Johns.
No, but you might see somebody who's an independent –
Like Seth or somebody like
that. Yeah, exactly. Chester Brown or any of those kind of artists. I can't think of any of the names right now. But yeah.
They're so obscure. So Chris can't think of the names. These guys are underground. They're underground.
For example,
they're like truffles.
Like Jim Mahfood, who did the original Clerks comic, right? He's supposed to be there. And Becky Cloonan, and she did that that one comic from Marvel. Becky Cloonan's going to be there, and there's a bunch of other
Thor, Hulk.
There's going to be a lot of sort of independent artists, and the idea is that they're going to be selling their sketches and their own wares and their own books and graphic novels and stuff like that. You can go up then; it's a little bit more intimate. You can go and talk to them and spend a little bit more time with them. But it's free to get in, and there's no big dealers. If you're planning on going and buying a statue, don't go.
Because
it's just basically comic book artists, and then they have they'll have question and answer periods, and they'll have
I went last year, and they had their little, because they have those little side rooms at the reference library. Those little rooms that fit 30 or 40
people.
And you go in, and you'll have what's that guy, Scott McCloud, was there last year, and he had a thing about just the comic book medium in general and stuff like that. I forget the name, Chris. I apologize, but there was a manga creator from Japan who was very renowned, and he was there, and he was kind of the buzz of the show so it is a great it's a great event for Toronto to host, to show that the comic medium isn't just Marvel and DC superheroes.
Right. And really, it's a great chance to meet a whole bunch of really great artists who are sort of you know, doing what they love, not necessarily for the money, because Lord knows some of these guys aren't making a whole lot of money, but it's a great chance to see some true artists out there. And just, as I said, it's not a big Marvel event or DC event.
And if you're a comic book fan, if you are a Marvelite or a DCite, and you're in the Southern Ontario area, really you owe it to yourself to check out the
Toronto
Comic Arts Festival, and perhaps maybe broaden your horizons on what the comic medium has to offer.
Well, you know what I loved about this show is, you know, as our listeners may or may not know, I like to collect artwork, and so I thought it was great to go to this kind of a show and get sketches by, you know, of the popular Marvel and DC characters, say like Captain America or Power Girl or something like that. But you're getting them done by these sort of independent, really highly stylized artists that don't look anything like a Marvel or a DC artist.
Which is very cool.
So, which is cool, because now all of a sudden you're getting these characters drawn in a way that you will never see them again.
Right. All right. So that's the Toronto Comic Arts Festival happening Saturday, May 7th and Sunday, May 8th.
Sorry, go ahead. Where is that again?
At the Toronto Reference Library, right, on Yonge Street, which is, I think, just north of Bloor.
Right. I think you're right. Well, we're going to keep on going here. We're going to have a quick interlude here of the old Swamp Thing cartoon.
Come here and suck to me one more time.
Sorry, you know, I had to cut that one off a little early. It's and that one I enjoy playing a whole lot. You know, it's Swamp Thing.
That is a great tune.
No, it's not.
That's an homage to the Troggs, right? With Wild Thing.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, it sounds like you or I wrote it, right? Like, I mean, hey, I got an idea. Instead of Wild Thing.
I did write it.
I wasn't one of the members of the Troggs, sorry.
All right, Chris. We got time just for a couple more things.
Yes.
Because time flies when you're talking comic books. And Free Comic Book Day is coming up Saturday, May 7th.
Yes.
So all your local comic book stores, before you head out to TCAF, make sure you drop into your local comic book shop to support Free Comic Book Day. Your local comic book store is going to pull out the red carpet for you that
day. Absolutely, absolutely. Yes.
They are going to buy a whole bunch of comics that they're going to give away for free.
Yep.
They are going to have barbecues and cupcakes and
guest
superheroes.
Guest artists and all kinds of great stuff.
They really, really want your patronage that day. And if you are a regular of that comic shop, then you owe it to your comic shop really to go out and bring a friend.
Yeah, for sure.
Bring a family.
Yeah.
Bring somebody that has a wife and kids or a husband and kids and bring them into the store. Hopefully it's their first time, and let them experience that
for sure. And you know what? The great thing about Free Comic Book Day is usually all the comic companies that are participating in this event, they come up with new material and they come up with starting point material. And so this is a great chance for fans to go to the comic book store and check out something that they wouldn't normally buy or read or something like that, right? So they can actually see some alternative type books or something like that. Or if there's a book that they maybe were interested in reading but they didn't quite know how to start, here's a perfect chance to start on one of those books.
Right. And it's www.freecomicbookday.com. And, excuse me, they have a list of their gold sponsors and their silver sponsors. Marvel, for example, has Amazing Spider-Man. They have Captain America, Thor.
Right.
Disney has a Darkwing Duck. Archie always has great stuff. They have Pep Comics with Betty and Veronica.
Yeah.
There are a lot of independent things, too. Now, if you want some of the independent books, you have to kind of go early, because a lot of comic stores that I know, they'll order heavy on the five or six
mainstream
yeah. titles, but something from, you know, I don't know.
Fantagraphics.
Yeah, Fantagraphics, they may only have 20 or 30 and you may not get it if you go late in the day.
Yeah.
So, but what a great way, like you said, though, what a great way to check something out, whether it's just for your kids or whether it's an independent that you want to try.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. There's a lot of, you know, a lot of Fantagraphics stuff that I've picked up because of, you know, Free Comic Book Day. I don't necessarily buy a lot of the trade paperbacks, but sometimes in the Free Comic Book Day, we'll have, like, you know, an 8-page intro into the trade that you might maybe are interested in buying, but you don't want to buy because it might not be any good. But you can pick this up and read it or something like that and check it out.
Right. And I can't stress this enough. Support your local comic book store that day, because they will really, really try hard to impress everybody that walks through that door. And the more people you invite with yourself into that door, you know, the better that event will be, and you will be rewarded from the experience.
Now, I don't mean to, you know, plug your store or anything, and I don't know if I should put you on the spot like this, but do we want to tell the listeners what kind of things Big B might be doing?
Yeah, we're going to have we're very lucky. We have Richard Comley.
Oh, okay.
Who, creator of Captain Canuck, got inducted to the Canadian Comic Book Hall of Fame this year.
Yep.
He's got hopefully some major news to announce before Free Comic Book Day that we're going to hopefully have on the show.
Yep.
We also have, I think they're going to take a break from Saving the World, Superman and Flash.
Oh, that's great.
Superman and Flash should show up. They told me they
awesome,
would.
Awesome. Very good.
And the mighty, mighty Scott will be barbecuing.
Right. Now, I know there was talk of another artist coming by. Do we know if
No, right now it's Mr. Comley only.
Oh, okay. All right.
Anyway, Chris, let's leave that there, and we have just a few minutes left in the show. We'll talk about you and I going to the Toronto Comic Con.
Yeah, this coming weekend, yeah.
This coming weekend, which is the April 9th and 10th.
Yes.
Another great show being put on in Southern Ontario.
Yeah. You know, this is great because this is going to be the last big show until the Fan Expo coming up in August. Like, I mean, so if you're itching to go to a show and you don't want to go too far away from the Southern Ontario area, this is the show to go to, because until, you know, in end of August, this is going to be the last show.
Right, the big Fan Expo show. Yeah. Now, I think we should note, hopefully Kevin agrees with this, but this is probably, this is more of your standard bread and butter comic book show.
Yeah.
There will be great creators there. There'll be artists.
Absolutely,
there'll
yeah.
be writers. There'll be people signing. There'll be, but there will be less of the kind of accessory type of dealers and stuff there. It'll be more focused on graphic novels, comic books.
Yeah.
A great place to go fill your want lists
for sure. And we have to tell our listeners that about the great cost to get in,
which is free.
It's absolutely free, because this initially started as the Fan Appreciation Show, and now it's just being billed as Toronto Comic Con. But it's fantastic. You can actually go in and go in for free, check out the comics, you know, go out and meet your local artists buy some comics and stuff like that. It's great.
And most importantly, drop by and say hi to Walt and Chris.
Absolutely.
All right, Chris, I think that's all the time we have for today.
Oh, okay.
Comic Culture is produced by Anthony Falcone and engineered by James McIntosh. For comments and suggestions, please go to comicbookdaily.com. Click on the podcast link, scroll down to the bottom, and there you will find a comments field. Then just add your comments, please.
That's right. And remember, he who dies with the most comics wins.
Yes, and support your local comic book store. See everyone next week.
Have yourself a great day.